Welcome to Let Love, a podcast with the Sisters of Life. We invite you to join us for conversation, looking at life through the lens of love. You are loved, you are made in God's image, and your life matters. Let's talk about it.
Well, welcome back to episode 7.
Hallelujah! Happy Easter.
We're here. We made it. Everybody survived. Well, it's good to be back. This is Let Love Podcast. My name is Sister Mary Grace.
I'm Sister Veritas.
I am Sister Anna Macule.
Awesome. And it's such a gift to be finally here in episode 7. What a season.
Oh my gosh. It's amazing.
And you just want to keep saying the Alleluia word over and over.
Yeah. We've got to make up for lost time.
I know.
Well, looking at this gospel, one of the things that really took us off guard was the amount of running.
Yeah. We like that theme here in this house.
Yeah. Because the Easter gospels, it's like they run to the tomb to see.
Uh-huh.
And it made me think of my brother.
Tell us about your brother.
My brother, Greg. Hi, Greg. I don't know if he's listening to this, but he was so cute when he was little.
Really?
But he was like a bigger boy, you know?
Sure.
Just like a large 3-year-old, like just much larger than any other 3-year-old. He just was.
Like he was well loved.
He was well loved, but just good genes, you know. Mm-hmm. Like at 10 months, he was 36 pounds, just to give you a sense.
Wow.
Anyway, but at 3 years old, he's just a little bit bigger. But he was on this soccer team called the Timbits.
Mm-hmm.
And they had these little shirts, the Timbit shirts. But he was so big that it didn't fit him totally. So his little belly stuck out, you know. And so anyway, he didn't really particularly like soccer or running, like to stay still. Mm-hmm. But when the soccer ball came to him, he would sit on it. And all the other little kids would come around and just kick it and like kick it as he's sitting on it. And mm-hmm. he'd just stay there resolutely, you know. But then when the whistle blew for, mm-hmm. you know, the orange snack time.
Break time.
He was the first one there. Fastest runner to the oranges.
He had a reason to run.
Yeah. And the watermelon.
That's so great.
I'm sure he would have made a great goalie if he can sit in the balls and not let them pass. That's true.
He was amazing. He ended up going into football. He played college football.
Brilliant.
Pretty excellent at that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Found his niche.
But yeah, it's definitely just a sweet running story. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Why do you run? You know?
Exactly. What motivates you? Mm-hmm. Well, it reminded me too of a recent trip that Sister Anne, you and I were on this one. We were visiting actually the University of Oregon. Mm-hmm. And we put out our sticker trick and kind of just went on this big arcade area in the middle of University of Oregon. And I don't think I've ever got so many knockbacks that we did there, but it was so worth it. And we just handed out again these stickers of good news and things that say, you know, you're wanted, God wants you to exist, you're irreplaceable, things like that. And I was having like a low track record in terms of actually giving these things away. And so I was kind of just getting a little foolish and bold in the end. And so I see down the end of the road, this woman running and like, you know, full sports outfit. She was in the zone, had her AirPods in. And I was like, you know what, we're going to go for it. So I had to kind of jog a little bit to keep up with her. She was passing, gave her the sticker, I think just really annoyed her in some ways. But I gave her the sticker and she took about 3 paces after passing for me. And then she turned around looking at the sticker and she said, why did you give this to me? And at first I was like, I'm sorry. It's like, it's free. It's for you. And I said, oh, you know, we really believe in your goodness and think it's important to remember. And yeah, you're worth it. Something like that. And she pulls her earbuds out and she said, sister, you have no idea. She said, I just decided to start praying again the rosary today. And she said, when I turned around that corner behind you, I said to God, show me a sign that you hear my prayer.
Wow.
I'm worried about my son. My son's been bothering me and I just need to know that you hear me.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I was probably not expecting to turn around a corner to see a sister, let alone a running sister next to her. But to me, it was just so powerful mm-hmm. that, yeah, just such a word of confidence, even to my own heart, that God hears our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the ones where we don't know the answers or, yeah, can get stuck on figuring them out, that God's always hearing our prayer and it is aching to respond to us. But yeah, these runners on the resurrection, hey?
Yeah, that's amazing.
I love that because she wasn't expecting that. You know, sometimes it's like the resurrection is a surprise.
Yeah.
You know? Yes. Like the disciples were not expecting this, even though Jesus said it. But like they didn't know what it would look like, you know? And like they didn't understand it. And sometimes the resurrection in our lives is a surprise to us, the way it comes about or what it looks like. And even to this woman, it's like God came to her and gave her a grace, but it was not entirely what she would have dreamt it would look like, you know?
Of course.
It's amazing.
And it's cool too, because, you know, you think about this passage, we don't want to dive in too much before we pray. But like these, I mean, Mary Magdalene, John, Peter, like, I mean, they weren't exercising. Like, you know, we think of running today and you think of, you know, keeping fit, keeping healthy, you know, training for a marathon or something. But I don't know whether that would have been part of the culture back then. So it's like, what happened inside these three hearts, this one woman and these two men that made runners out of them? Mm-hmm. What was moving that they had to move faster for? Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like the first witness to the resurrection was this new life in each one of them that literally made runners out of them.
It's awesome.
So cool.
So it is. It's cool to ponder it.
That's awesome.
Love it.
So we jump in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. Sister Veritas, would you like to pray for us?
I'd love to pray.
Great.
Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we praise you. We bless you. We thank you for dying and for rising for us. You are the resurrection and the life. No sin or darkness can stand in your sight. Lord, we ask you to pour yourself into us right now. Pour your Holy Spirit into us in a powerful way. Pour your new life into us, Lord. Help us to run toward you, to run toward your resurrection. Allow your new life to flow through our veins, to give us hope where we don't have hope, to unite us in a powerful communion with each other and with you, Lord, one that is a fortress against the enemy. Lord, I just ask that you, let this Easter Alleluia just resonate in our entire being and help us to know deeply your personal love for us, how you gaze upon us in every moment. You love us. You choose us. From all eternity, you desired to create us and to be with us. Lord, protect and flourish this grace in our hearts and our lives this Easter, and help us to unite ourselves more closely to you. Blessed Mother, we give ourselves to you. We ask for your intercession as we pray. Hail Mary.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Our Lady of Victory,
pray for us.
Holy Spirit. I thought that was an appropriate title.
Yeah, way to go.
Thanks.
Nailed it.
So this is from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. And this is the gospel passage from Easter Sunday, yesterday. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter then came out with the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying and the napkin, which had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead.
Wow, thanks, sister. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I love this passage. I mean, it's just so epic, first of all, but it really struck me because, you know, like there's like so many different resurrection accounts, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's amazing because I know that scholars will often talk about how the difference in the accounts actually is a proof of validity. Mm. Like when you see an accident or something, everyone has a slightly different nuanced report on that particular same event, but together it kind of constitutes a whole, you know, in a sense. And so it's like, it's so beautiful how like just for us to be able to receive the validity of this passage, right? Like the differences in our sight, mm-hmm. The Lord uses so powerfully to proclaim truth and to bring us into communion. It's so
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And even just the three of them, the difference of how they engage this first experience of the resurrection, how mm-hmm. different it is to all of them, but mm-hmm. how essential each one of them and their experience of it bounces off and intertwines and makes this beautiful story, but they're all in different places. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mary Magdalene, as we're saying, like she's kind of doubting it immediately. Like someone's taken the Lord, just coming to her own assumption immediately. And then we have her running to Peter and John, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have them running, but then you also have the first outrunning, you know, of John beating Peter there, but then John waiting on Peter and Peter's authority. And and then also like the faith of John at the end is like he left believing that place. Mm-hmm. Faith was already at work in his heart when the others were not aware of it. They totally believed in the resurrection at this point. Mm-hmm. They're all kind of like at different volume levels, but bringing together this beautiful story.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Mm. Yeah, like they all experienced it, but they experienced it differently and they needed each other. You know, it wasn't like,
Yeah, well, it's just lovely that immediately Mary Magdalene's response is to run to her brothers.
That's so true.
I mean, I also too think this is another proof of the resurrection, yeah. is that in her need, she's running to the ones that she can trust.
It's mm-hmm. so beautiful. And it's, yeah, it's such a witness of communio, right?
Isn't it?
Like seeing the empty tomb, the stone removed, right? And what does she do? She runs to them. And it's like, why? Because it's like, I can't interpret reality on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I need others to yes. help me. I need authority to help me.
Uh-huh.
Right. So she's talking to Simon Peter, who is the authority, mm-hmm. but then also to John, right? Who's in such deep communion with the Lord. And it's like, yeah, we need each other to actually mm-hmm. understand and interpret reality
cool.
correctly. Mm-hmm. And just, yeah, the profound communion in that. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like we're finding it like a whole new style of running. Like, you know, they're not competing with each other. They're actually working together in a very unique way for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And even in what could be seen as a competitive run between John and Peter, mm-hmm. just the beauty and the reverence of John, who gets there first and really had the first right to look at the tomb, pauses because he knows there's something in Peter that ought to move first in this place, that mm-hmm. it's actually not his place to move forward in.
Mm-hmm.
And just the beauty and clearly the fruit of, I don't know, a deep communion of friendship from him to reverence and respect Peter and wait on him,
mm-hmm.
you know, to not move forward alone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is like the first team effort post-resurrection. You know, you have everybody bringing their gifts and their roles and their perspectives forward and seeing it beautifully complement each other, even in the mess and the confusion of it, they work mm-hmm. out what in the world is going on. Looking back on it now, how essential each person's place is and reverencing how different it looks in one another. And it's just beautiful because you think of it in community life too. It's like, you know, my sister and her gifts and her gaps are not a threat to me.
Mm-mm.
They're not an obstacle. It's not a problem here. Actually, her need, her gifts, mm-hmm. they complement and make up this tapestry of community life.
Mm-hmm.
That's so awesome.
Mm-hmm. And it makes for a rich story,
mm-hmm. right?
You know, like it makes for a rich point. Account.
Amen. Yeah.
Because if it was just one person's perspective, it's like you'd miss so many details. But
mm-hmm.
the uniqueness of the experience is actually fills it out with such a richness.
Yeah. Huh.
You know,
it's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And also too, like, huh. I think you were saying earlier about how each of them needed each other.
Yes.
Like, I forget, you said it so nicely, but
I can't remember. Probably something nicely like you just said. Yeah.
But
they do. Yeah.
Yeah. Like John needed Peter so that he could go in first. And
absolutely.
Probably Peter was inspired by John's fast running and they needed Mary Magdalene to tell them. Like it was all this intersection of needs that led to glory.
Totally.
You know, it's so awesome.
Yeah. And it's amazing because it gives each of us permission wherever we're at this Easter Monday morning. You know, is there a trickle of doubt in my heart still like Mary Magdalene? You know, am I struggling to believe that this is really as good as God has said it is? And just this permission to like wherever you are, or you have the faith of John that is immediately believing that the tomb is empty because Jesus is risen, literally,
mm-hmm.
or potentially even the confusion of Peter, who's just like so caught up in it and doesn't actually quite know what to believe or to hope or to doubt. Or you kind of like in each of them, we find a place
mm-hmm.
And this story is going on, but it gives every one of us an entry point wherever we're at today that, Jesus is still working his mighty work in their midst, even if there's a bit of doubt, confusion, or we don't know the full story yet, mm-hmm. be at peace. The story's unfolding.
That's
beautiful.
Awesome.
Mm.
That's so cool.
It's like it gives us permission to look to each other for assistance, you know, like if there is a trickle of doubt in my heart, like can I look to mm-hmm. my friend, my sister, my family member and experience the resurrection through their eyes, you know, or through their own experience? Like it's okay that we can lean on each other to believe in the resurrection more fully, especially when it looks unique in our life, you know, or when it surprises us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking of a story. Like I remember when I was in college and just really learning how to like pray, you know, like in a way I'd never prayed before. One of my friends, mm-hmm. Olivia, give you a shout out, Olivia. She's wonderful. But she started like, just kind of took me under her wing a little bit. She was older than me a little bit in school. In college and took me under her wing and started, she's like, do you know the Divine Mercy Chaplet? I was like, no. And so she taught me that. And then she taught me like another chaplet and like kind of just, it like really, yeah, really showed me and like walked with me. And I was just so like, yeah, I'm happy to, you're cool. Like I trust you. Like, and it was really beautiful because I needed someone else to show me that.
Cool.
And to lean on their faith and start, it like kindled my own, you know,
mm-hmm.
in a powerful way. And it's like, we can totally do that for each other. And I think that's the gift of living in community too. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. I can see my, you know, and the sister, and we all show up, you know, to the pews to pray. Right. And like, everybody has a different day, you know, maybe one person's super tired, one person's distracted, like, yeah, but like I can lean on my sister's prayers to like mm-hmm. hold me up, you know, mm-hmm. and you know, let's say I fall asleep during prayer or something, like, but probably somebody else is still awake,
yeah,
and is like, you know, mm-hmm. keeping vigil, you know, so it's like, mm-hmm. I think it's just, it's so beautiful, and I experience mm-hmm. that in community life, how we're yeah, really for each other in mm. that.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me too, like even just, I mean, I think we've shared with our listeners too, just this experience of this new creative spirit that we're experiencing in yeah. our own community and really throughout the world when we turn our hearts to the Lord, but what he can do, but how he does it through, you know, a bunch of very different people. And like just seeing, you know, all this music that's coming out of our local house. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating because there's five of us. And just like a couple of songs, it's been really beautiful. Like Sister Veritas, like you've been inspired in chapel mm-hmm. with lyrics that are like powerful and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And yet you didn't have a tune necessarily. Mm-hmm. The stunning words, which are necessary. And then mm-hmm. tell us how it happened. Didn't you like lean out to Sister Anne and be like,
I did.
Do your thing?
I said, can I give you a commission?
Yeah, yeah.
If you feel inspired. But then mm-hmm. it came.
Mm-hmm. And then you bring it to life with a sound that like has just been unheard before, like an entirely new sound mm-hmm. that complements this. And then bringing it to the rest of us. And
harmonies, I mean, coming yeah, and piano being joy, added. And
like yeah. harmony, Sister yeah, Lumen.
Sister Lumen on the piano.
Who's learned that this year. Mm-hmm. It's just so beautiful because it's like, yeah, God, yeah, he chooses to give us each gifts, but he withholds all of the gifts from one of us, not to tease us or to limit his love or his spirit. His spirit is without limit, but that he actually intentionally chooses each of us to have different gifts and gaps. So not only to keep us humble, but actually for the purpose of unity mm-hmm. so that we would look to each other and cherish one another, not mm-hmm. for just my own gain, but that like this song becomes only when we're one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can't move forward unless we're literally leaning and depending on each other. Mm-hmm. But we wouldn't have these songs unless, yeah, there was even a freedom and an encouragement to mm-hmm. to be open to it, you know. It's mm-hmm. and it's just been such a communal experience, which mm-hmm. is neat.
It's been amazing. Mm-hmm. It's so cool. It's kind of like the image of a puzzle, if you're a puzzler, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's like you need the little insert and you need like the little
yes.
kind of like the mm-hmm. cut in and the cut out to like fit together, like cool. otherwise it's not doesn't work, you know.
Yeah.
You can't mm-hmm. arrive at the final image, like
cool.
We
each
need
piece
that.
Is necessary.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. I'm also just thinking here about the burial cloths feature of this gospel, which is so beautiful, and like that the fact that they're like rolled up in a separate place. Mm-hmm. But I was just thinking, like, this is, I mean, it's like Jesus' laundry, you know, like his, mm-hmm. and it's like, but it's so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a gift. I know I have the great gift of being the sacristan here in mm-hmm. Denver, which is such a gift. So mm-hmm. just helping take care of the liturgy and getting the linens ready for mass. And we just heard a story recently from a priest, actually. Mm-hmm. And he was sharing that he has been asked to pray with people who are oppressed in different ways. And he was just sharing that, you know, in difficult cases where the demons in someone are so rampant that they have to hold the person down, a way to do this, and the easiest and simplest and strongest way to do this is literally to take an old purificator that is used for mass, for the chalice, for the precious blood, mm-hmm. just on the hands or the feet of the person who is writhing, and instantly the demon is held back and mm-hmm. they calm down. And it's like the power of these linens that touch yeah. the body of Christ. And mm-hmm. it's like these are the same linens that we're seeing here in the tomb that you're talking mm-hmm. about. It's like every day we see this at mass, but this is what, yeah, we're encountering here in this scripture.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Yeah. And it's so cool. Mm-hmm. And the power of the Lord, you know, mm-hmm. everything he touches. Mm-hmm. And I was really struck too, like the fact that the burial cloths are rolled up in a separate place.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it just speaks to me so much of leisure and reverence. And I think the reason I say that is like, you think like the resurrection, it's like the most awesome event in human history. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but Jesus, he still made his bed, you know?
He's
like,
taking his time.
He's taking his time. Like mm-hmm. it wasn't like, it was so intentional, whether he or the angel did it, I don't know, but mm-hmm. somebody rolled up the linens, you know? But it like, he took the time with just almost a spirit of leisure. Like cool. I'm gonna do this. It's so beautiful and such reverence, like mm-hmm. to
yeah.
also just to like, this is, these are the linens that like touched his face, touched mm. his body and really held the marks of his passion, mm. you know? And it's almost like the fact that they were rolled up in the separate place, just like this reverence for the sufferings, for our mm-hmm. sufferings that he endured. And the tradition is like that mm-hmm. he left his countenance impressed upon those linens. And like, wow, what reverence and gentleness this speaks to us mm-hmm. of his love, of his resurrection. And Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it matters, you know. And anyway, I just,
yeah, that nothing is lost or forgotten. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially our sufferings and mm-hmm. sorrows. They're actually reverenced by the Lord. He holds them in the highest regard.
Yeah,
because mm-hmm. they're also the way that He redeems the world through the very ways that we've suffered and sin has affected us. Mm-hmm. That He, that's stunning, sister.
It's so beautiful,
mm-hmm. and I love it too because it's such a proclamation of like God is just like boss. You know, like here He is like I have total control. And so much so that, you know, little intentional activities, even rolling up the burial cloths, that everything is so intentional. Mm-hmm. And you just wonder too, like how this affected the attitude of His heart His whole life long, you know, that He was aware of this intentional pre-planned resurrection. Like Jesus lived His entire life knowing that He was going to rise from the dead, that mm-hmm. the Father would send forth His Spirit to bring Him up from the depths of hell. You know, that for Him, He was always in the forefront of His mind is, yeah, that He was just always aware that the resurrection was coming and how much that affected the way He lived. And it's cool because it kind of like invites us to the question of like, am I living in the Easter difference? You know, this difference of like whatever situation and experiences my life has right now, what I see and what I can touch, not the end of the story. Mm-hmm. And that actually even dead places have mm-hmm. potential for the resurrection to bring life from. Mm-hmm. And if we're all aware that of every, that every suffering and experience that this resurrection message can touch that, life can come from here, it can just change our whole attitude.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's like living from a place of confidence rather than like a question, like, well, this might happen or this could happen, but it's like the resurrection is. It's like, Jesus is alive. And
and it makes me think of that line. It's almost like Jesus was always living in this stance of like, the resurrection is coming soon.
Yeah, that's
like he was so aware of it being released in His life and being a reality that it was like this pending coming soon. Mm-hmm. And it just made me think, I mean, listen, as we talk about it now, I want to run.
I love it.
But it is, it's like, do I live in this reality of like, it's coming soon. Mm. It's literally coming soon because it happened to Jesus and He promised it can happen to me.
Mm. That's awesome. Mm. And I love how it's like, it says that, you know, John went there and saw and believed.
Yeah.
And it's like, because Peter, you know, they saw the same thing, right? They did, neither understood, but John believed. Mm. And it's like, not what Mary Magdalene's interpretation was that they've taken the body. No, but like that He rose. Mm. And it's like, it's like that experience of like, it's real, but it's also real for me and in my life.
Yes.
As you're saying. And like,
yes.
And He wants to. And actually, you think about this rising from the dead, like death is the separation of the soul and body. This is division that God never intended, you know, and came about through sin. But it's like this, if God can even heal and bring back this unity, this life where there was division and death, like how much so does He want to do that in our own lives, in our own bodies, our own reality, but also between us, you know? And like,
cool.
This how, His resurrection ultimately leads to Pentecost, which is this wild, awesome union of the church, this community, this family of the church. It's so powerful. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's like already the seeds of Pentecost are being planted in their hearts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen them work together, move together.
Mm-hmm. I love that, sister. Yeah, Pentecost, just starting here. And it's like there was one heart that was able to hope in the face of the tomb. Mm-hmm. You know, there was one heart that that really in the face of death was able to hope with Jesus for the resurrection. And just, I think I've just found in my own life just how much the Blessed Mother has helped me, you know, go to the tombs of my hearts or my circumstances or, these places in relationships or family or whatever that are difficult or you feel a certain level of hopelessness there. And just to really hope with her and to ask her to help, you know, help us hope in those places and to really believe that, that the resurrection is possible and to not fall into the trap of discouragement, which is so often, I think just a temptation for each of us to believe that it's not possible for us.
Cool. Awesome. It reminds me of a prayer that a priest was praying with us recently and he was, just invoking the intercession of Blessed Mother. And he said in the prayers, "You whose mission is to crush the head of the serpent and to continue crushing,"
wow.
Which is really cool because you just think about her role here. It's like, she was the chosen one to crush the serpent's head through the grace and blood of Jesus Christ. But that's her ongoing mission right now in my life.
Yeah.
Like, where do I see the biggest temptations, the biggest lies? Where do I look at that tomb and have, a heart of doubt or maybe experience more relatability with Mary Magdalene and think, I just don't know, or it's hard to see beyond, or there's confusion or whatever. Just to permit Mary to come to that tomb, to stand at that tomb and continue her work in me.
Wow. That's awesome. Mm.
Yeah. I think one thing I love about this setting too is, you kind of get traces still of a bit of dysfunction between the three of them. Like they're working things out, right? It's not, it's not perfect right now. And it's amazing to think of that in the apostolic life of Jesus in his last 3 years, Jesus was constantly putting himself in dysfunctional communities. Mm-hmm. You think about it, like the disciples were constantly not quite getting it, falling a little bit short, getting distracted. They didn't understand and they couldn't freely totally follow Jesus. That his whole apostolic mission, it never quite clicked 100%, which is amazing. And then you think of Jesus's priority to be with sinners, to be with the sick, to be with the condemned. These are the ones that Jesus wanted to be with. So it's just beautiful and such a word of hope to know that, Jesus comes to the dysfunctions of our community. And actually, he's not bothered by them. He's not put off by it. He doesn't exit at the first sight of something off or wrong, which is just so beautiful because it's, as we now move into the Easter season and we might be aware of our communities and be like, wow, there's still so much lacking. It's kind of, I don't know, I just found it was a real, real word of hope of like, do not be afraid. This is where Jesus comes, to invite Jesus. And are we aware that these are the places where Jesus lives and walks and makes miracles happen, in these places, not once we're done with them, through them or past them. It's in the dysfunction that he walks.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I love that.
It's so encouraging. Yeah.
Like he brings order where there's disorder.
Yeah.
Like where there's darkness. Like, like the rolled up burial cloths in this tomb.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm going to bring order here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like he's setting us up for this Easter environment, an environment that believes that Jesus has completed the project, literally. He's brought it to completion. Yeah, that came to me after I just listened to a song and a pastor was giving this word. And he was like, honestly, I think the biggest fear in Christian hearts today is that we don't really believe that Jesus completed the resurrection. Mm. What we see in our life, what we can visibly see and touch, we kind of stop that and think at that point and think that's all there is, this mess or this sickness or this illness or this trauma or this sin or this addiction that I'm struggling with, that is it. Or this dysfunction in my community, this break, whatever it is, that whatever we can see and touch with our human sight and understand as if that's it, there's nothing more. And, we just see this new invitation to live in a new Easter environment, which what happened yesterday, Jesus rose from a dead place. Mm-hmm. He brought life where there was total darkness. Mary Magdalene found Jesus in a dark night. Mm-hmm. We were saying that before, that Jesus, right? What was that thing?
It was still dark when she went to the tomb.
Right.
Know? And it's like, so he rose in the dark when it was still dark, when we still couldn't see. Mm-hmm. That's when he rose.
Yeah. So it's this radical call to live in an entirely new environment of seeing and looking at the world, that there actually is more than what we just can see and touch. Mm-hmm. Wow, sisters. Well, what do you think? This is the last episode. Do we have any challenges to pass people along?
My, oh my.
Mm. all this talk of running. I do love to run, and just what it can speak to the soul. It just made me ask this question. It's actually when you were reading the gospel, Sister Anne, where in my life has my soul stopped running? Mm. Because this new, it's almost like the resurrection is literally running through their veins. There's something that's in them that's making them move and live in a way that was not ordinary, that was not as they had previously done, that this resurrection was running through their veins. And it just, kind of awoken a desire in my heart of like, where have I kind of like, stopped running or given up on the areas of my life where I'm kind of like, that's done and gone or dusted. I can't move in that way anymore, or that's past. And I think just as we look towards Pentecost, to really the feast that we're all preparing for now is the feast of the more, so where in my life am I in need of more? Where do I actually want to run again? Where I know in my life, I'm like, oh, that's just not moving anymore. And just to honestly, simply locate it, to notice it, and just to invite the Holy Spirit there. Come, Holy Spirit, help me run again. That's awesome. But actually for that to be a place to turn to Jesus in.
That's awesome.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent.
Mm-hmm. Cool. What else, sisters?
I have two challenges.
Nice. Wonderful. We have 50 days of Easter, so go for it.
Great. My first challenge is to watch a film called Chariots of Fire.
Cool. Nice. Challenge accepted.
I think it's my favorite movie. It's so good. But it's basically kind of about one man who ran for the resurrection.
Cool.
And one man who ran for himself. Mm. It's really profound. And it's also such an expose too on communion versus isolation.
Nice.
It's really beautiful. So I just encourage you to watch that. It's probably, you can probably get it like super cheap on some kind of online platform. Maybe even free because it's older.
Classic.
It's classic. But it's really powerful. I encourage you to watch it through that lens. My second challenge actually would be to just, if you haven't already started praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, there's the Divine Mercy Novena, which starts on Good Friday and then finishes on Divine Mercy Sunday, which is the first Sunday after Easter.
Beautiful.
And so if you haven't started praying that, just start now. And I really encourage you to like really lean into Divine Mercy Sunday, which is epic, epic, epic Sunday, and really pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. You can find it online. and basically to like live this Easter reality, this Easter environment, to like really lean into the graces of Divine Mercy Sunday, which is Jesus promised St. Faustina and has been ratified by the church. Like if you receive communion and go to confession, I think,
within 8 days.
Yeah, within 8 days and receive communion on that day.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you're it's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
It's bigger.
Promised.
It's bigger than a plenary indulgence. It's all your temporal.
It's as big as it gets.
All your temporal punishment due to sin is remitted. It's gone. It's like clean slate. Your soul is returned to the full baptismal state, basically.
Awesome.
So it's a really huge grace. So just lean into that. I think that's correct. Look it up. You'll have the full details about it on the internet. But yeah, the graces are bigger than like a plenary indulgence. It's like a remission of temporal punishment due to sin. Like it's just kind of like crazy grace, more than normal anything.
Yep.
So look it up. Divine Mercy Sunday graces. It's amazing.
So worth it.
So worth it.
I love that, sister. And I love both of your words. And yeah, I would just love, let hope be your word for these 50 days and really just enter into it. Sometimes, yeah, we don't feel hopeful in our emotions, but like choose it.
Yes.
Choose to be hopeful and to really enter into that. And you can really ask Our Lady, ask the Holy Spirit to accompany you in that grace, in that gift, in that virtue, and to just really exercise that virtue this Easter and enter into the beauty of hope.
Wow, love that
gift.
Mm-hmm.
And in that vein, we're including a song.
I think, Sister Anne, this is my favorite one you've written.
Wow,
not even
amazing.
Kidding. Well, I say that every time you do a new song, but but this one there is a special gift in this one.
Cool.
Which is awesome.
That's awesome. It's called "I Hope in God."
Yeah. Watch out, it's going to stick with you.
That's great.
So good.
So here it is.
Oh, okay. Well, what a gift, sisters, to be together, to have introduced other members of our local community and to walk with each of you through, the epic and sacred season of Lent and to come to this final word of hope. It's just such a gift to have been together and, what a joy it's been.
Mm-hmm. And so, looking forward to being with you our next season coming
Absolutely.
Soon. So stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
We're excited.
We'll miss you.
Definitely. Yeah.
Praying for you.
Uh-huh. Sister Anne, do you want to wrap up the whole season and start the new Easter journey? Word of prayer. Awesome.
That sounds great. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we praise you. We bless you. We thank you for the gift of the resurrection. We thank you, Father, that hopelessness doesn't exist in you, that you promise new life in our hearts. You promise us the resurrection. So, Father, we just ask that you would send your Spirit to be with us this Easter season in a new and radical way. We open our hearts wide to you, Holy Spirit, come. Come in fullness. Come in newness. We desire you. We ask for you. We hope for you. We long for you. And Holy Spirit, we just open our hearts to you as we prepare for Pentecost, and we just ask for radical new gifts of faith, of hope, of love, every gift of the Spirit, every fruit of the Spirit to flood our life this Easter season, that we would hunger for you more than anything in this time, that we would hope for you in this time, and that the promise of the resurrection and the promise of Pentecost would direct our gaze and be our sure anchor in these days. So we call out to you, Father, for more, and we praise you for already giving us the gift of the Spirit. Blessed Mother, we turn to you, you who hoped till the end, you who accompanied the disciples in the upper room, the apostles in the upper room, who waited for Pentecost. We ask you to accompany us this Easter season, that our hearts might be wide open to what is to come. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your intercession. And we ask all of this, Father, in Jesus' most holy and saving name. Amen.
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 In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Hopelessness does not exist in you.
Sister Anne.
So,
T-shirt.
That was awesome. Such a powerful prayer. Can I just say that?
Yeah.
I'm so glad that we have that recorded.
I know.
I want to write it down.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
That was so
he's
powerful.
Here. He's here. Thanks for setting our hearts straight.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, God bless you all. Oh, no. Sister Rita has another thought.
Well, now our final treat.
Oh, now our final song.
The final song.
Yeah.
A song Sister Anne wrote, "I Hope in God."
Enjoy it. It's such a gift. And open your heart to it.
Here it is.
God bless.
God bless you.
Bye.
This was Let Love Podcast with the Sisters of Life, a religious community of women consecrated for the protection of the sacredness of human life. Be assured of our prayers and learn more at sistersoflife.org.
to my Father who remains steady in the storm. To my Father who works all things for good. To your Father I run. Oh, the bird.